you do look at this curriculum, you know, all of you are from different backgrounds, and all of you from different educations and this kind of thing, and some of you have lots of education, and you got that to be able to function in whatever position or job that you're doing right now, or even if it wasn't that, you got some kind of education to be able to do that and everything. But all of that education is really, and you need, you know, I don't want to, because I did too, I don't want to, you know, discourage you in any way that way, but it was a necessary thing, and I understand that. You all have to have a job, and you all got to work, and you've got to have some kind of employment, you've got to have a vocation, and those kinds of things. But really, all of the skills that you've developed in that are going to be left here. They were to run whatever earthly business or whatever thing you were involved with here on this earth. You're not going to be involved in that in forever. And forever is, that's a long time. This is something that every single thing you learn, and I mean, you know, and this may be more advanced, but I just before we get back into this and start looking at details that maybe you don't consider fun and exciting, just consider for a moment that as you go through the book of Romans and you are taught in Romans 12 about how to think about yourself, and you see and view yourself the way your father sees you and views you, and you find in later on in Romans to think about your government and how you live within a nation the way your father views it and would have you view it, and as a person in that nation or whatever. And when you're taught about one another and how to be members one of another, and how to view each other, how to view a weaker brother, and how your father views him, and all the decision-making skills that goes along with all of those things. While that seems like, well, that's just the here, and that's just the now, and that's just with each other, and that's all this, and that's all that, every single skill that you learn in that is going to be taken with you. You may not realize it, but how you deal and think about your government here is going to have a bearing on how you're going to be in a position of governmental authority in the heavenly places. That's what your father's business is going to be. It's going to be about carrying out the imperial headship of Jesus Christ among the angels and this entire universe your heavenly father created. And he wants you to do that business for him. And every skill that you learn along the way, while you think it's just about me, or it's just about you, or it's just about each other, or it's just about my government, or police officers, or whatever it is, whatever skill is gained is going to be used by your father's up to something else. He's not only teaching you something now, but he's teaching you that so that when your soul and your human spirit gets its immortal glorified body, that immortal glorified body will have a spirit and a human spirit and a human soul in it that is already capable, ready, educated to be put into a position of authority and responsibility in your father's business and begin making decisions. That's why Paul kept telling the Corinthians, isn't there a wise man among you? This is what he's referring to. Isn't there one of these guys among you that you would take each other to court? You're going to make decisions and let those decisions that have to do with each other as individual believers within the body of Christ, you're going to let secular judges decide that matter? The greatest place for any matter, legal, civil, whatever it is, to be decided is within a local assembly of believers, of fully educated sons. That's where it needs to be. It can all be dealt with there. And you know, in the early part of this country, churches is where the judge would come and hold court. And it's reflective of that it is the pillar and ground of the truth. Congress isn't. You wouldn't find it if you dug 15 miles beneath Congress. You're not going to find any truth in that festering place called Washington, D.C., which is a marvelous place to raise these little gnats, things that bite you. But I just want to encourage you by that, by realizing this is going to translate everything I'm learning here. My father views that as critically important because it's not just going to be something temporal I'm going to use now. We're going to be able to put a U-Haul on our caskets. We're going to be able to haul everything we learn as sons with us. Everything that's valuable we'll be able to take with us. Your estate and all that, that's not valuable. Heavens, God uses gold for tar to patch roads with. Big deal. What he can, his greatest gem is you. But anyway, we're looking at this now, this issue in verses 2 through 6 especially, to know wisdom. And all these twos we talked about, and to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, the end of the curriculum is reached there, and the first thing we're to appreciate, I believe, is that there is a complex purpose to the objective, to the book of Proverbs. And all those twos tell you that. And that means before you go any further, if you don't know what the purpose is of each one of these issues, that is, if you can't settle in your thinking, what's the purpose of each one of these? To know wisdom and instruction. All right, just that one alone. What is the purpose of that? What is that? And until you can do that, and until you can settle that in your mind, in your thinking, what each one of these component twos, right on down the list, if you can't nail down what each of these things are, what would you expect would happen if you were in first grade and you could not read? What do you do at the end of the year? Repeat. That's a kind way. I would say, you flunk. Yeah, the big F. You flunked. That was a disgusting word, and a word I feared greatly, especially along around fifth grade when math started getting even harder. And I did get by the skin of my teeth in some of those math courses. Sarah's just breezing through geometry. I'm thinking, I couldn't even understand the rule that said that you had to prove that a line's a line. That destroyed me somewhere. It broke my... I had a mental breakdown. It's a line. Oh, I don't have to prove that it's a line. Here, I'll draw one. Zip, there, it's a line. Can we all agree on that? Oh, no. There's got to be a proof. It's a series of dots in a row or whatever it is. And I thought, this is for the birds. And so my attitude was horrible. And I had a teacher that I absolutely detested, and she didn't like me either. The feelings were mutual. And I just barely got by that class. So it's one of those things that just doesn't click. But if you're in a curriculum, you can't just laugh it off. If it's got advancement to it and it's got markers to it, and the only way that you're going to be able to get through this, and again, the first verse tells you that's what we've got. We've got Proverbs. We've got an educational curriculum designed to impart wisdom from an elder to a younger so the younger can become an elder. And if that's what you've got, you need to be honest that if you can't nail down what each one of these twos is doing, what each one of these component parts of this complex purpose, what the purpose of it is, then there really isn't any reason to go any further. You're going to have to repeat. Because if you don't know what the purpose of the book is, what's the point in reading the book? There's no reason to read the book. And this matters a lot. It matters enormously to the book of Romans. Because you may find something real intriguing about... Especially you might find something intriguing about up there where it says, the end of verse 5, that you're going to attain unto wise counsels. Man, I can't wait for that. Dr. Phil and Oprah, I can start counseling. Well, you can, but you're not going to be like that. But you can give wise counsel. You want to see somebody doing that? Read 1 and 2 Timothy. That is Paul. That tells you exactly where Paul's life was. He at least was at that point. That's, by the way, by the time you get to verse 5, you are a man of understanding at that point. This is kind of icing on the cake. But what I'm after is, Paul was a man of understanding. He could attain unto wise counsels. He could give counsel, and it was godly counsel. It was advice that he was giving to Timothy, and he did the same thing with Titus, and he does the same thing with Philemon. And he does that as a fully educated son, and it's just as if God, the Heavenly Father, is in the body of Paul, and he's giving advice to these guys. It's godly counsel. Now, that may be something that's really intriguing you, that you want to get to. Well, let me tell you something. You will never get there until you first of all know what it means to know wisdom and instruction. And you've got to pass that first. Now, you may not like that, but that's proper education. And that's what we're after. And believe me, you've got a very benevolent, kind, loving, fatherly pastor to take you through it. I care so much, I would come to your house to help you. Because I've had to have help myself. I know what it's like. But you're gonna be given every opportunity. And you know, Pastor Repeat up here just repeats all the time. So you're going to have to make a concerted effort to stay away from this and flunk out. You will have to try harder to flunk this course than to pass it. You understand that? In this assembly, you're going to have to try harder to flunk it than you will to pass it. But you are going to have to deal with it on your own. And that's something that we turned a corner on here a few months ago that you've never experienced in a doctrinal setting, where you have to be dealing with this personally and privately. And I don't mean just in, you know, husband and wife together. I mean individually. You need to make sure these things are settled in your thinking and that they're clicking and they're really effectually working in your inner man. And so the first one of these is to know wisdom and instruction. And the truth of the matter is that should come as no surprise at all. In fact, that really should be expected. If Proverbs is going to be an educational system for a younger man to receive an education from his father, then that's further defined as David teaching his son Solomon. And we understand, of course, from that the significance of it is that Solomon is to function in that father-son relationship as an adopted son of God, his father, his heavenly father. It's going to be God using David to educate his son Solomon. Then it should be expected that this purpose would be complex. That's what I mean when I say that's what you should expect. You should expect the complexity of purpose. Not that it's complicated. It's not complicated at all. But it is complex, and it has multifaceted aspects to it. And just so that you don't get bored with all this, lest you think this is only something academic to the book of Proverbs, you need to be aware that each one of these component parts has a direct relationship to you, to your sonship life, and your sonship education, as it's found in the book of Romans, and then in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, throughout all of Paul's epistles. So this isn't just something we're going back in the Old Testament and looking at. But the very next thing we're going to get to, as soon as we get through Romans 8, 14, and 15, in verse 16, we're going to start knowing wisdom and instruction and what that's about. Now, you don't know what that's about yet, but we'll get to that. Don't be perplexed about it. All we're after now is seeing if you see some very general kind of macro issues that are involved in how this is designed. And the first thing is that there's these two infinitives, and these all of these piling up of these twos tell us that there's complexity of purpose. It has a lot of issues involved in it. Not tremendously a lot, but it does have more than one. So there's a complex to it, and that when you see that gets overlaid on the book of Romans, and that those things are going to be there, when you read the first thing a son is going to do is to get what he's supposed to get, so to speak, is what's stated in the first component, to know wisdom and instruction, and on down through each component part, all those perfectly, and I think wonderfully. That's why I went to all that trouble to make that chart up. I think they perfectly and they wonderfully, it's not just You know, you can say the first nine chapters of Proverbs is going to do that, but if what we're looking at in these five verses of chapter 1, if verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 comprise the table of contents of the entire curriculum, then it stands to reason that that also can be overlaid on Romans through 2 Thessalonians, and we can find the major table of context issues of what follows right down through the curriculum. And I think you can. And I think that's wonderful design. My understanding is that when you really start to see the design of the Bible, it makes the design of DNA look simple by comparison. Deoxyribonucleic acid, we can identify the parts of it, and there's not that many. Guanine and thumine and some other means that I can't even pronounce means and things like that all slap together and they make this double helix and things like that. And heavens, there's guys that can understand that when it comes to the Bible are dumb as a stump. The Bible has enormous complexity beyond anything you can imagine involved in it. And we're not involved in enormous complexity here, but all I'm after is that you do see that it is a complex purpose. All right. When you start overlaying that, all of these issues that we're going to be looking at here, I think perfectly and wonderfully match up with each step and each component part of your sonship education and edification in Romans. And that's why it's so important to understand that God doesn't just justify you unto eternal life, and then He hands you this thing that somebody embossed Holy Bible on, and He says, here's a box. It's like somebody, you know, somebody getting a box out of the attic that's got this model in it that's 50, 60, 100 years old. In this case, it's like 2,000 years old, and it's been thrown around for so long. All the parts are in there. The box is beat up. It's busted. There's holes in it. And God says, okay, now you're saved. Good. You're justified unto eternal life. Here, take this. It's a box. And you say, well, okay, it looks pretty ratty. Well, it's been around a long time. And here's a box of stuff. Oh, it's godly stuff. But it's a box of stuff. I'm talking about the Bible. Here's a box of stuff. It's godly stuff. Oh, let's even call it inspired stuff. But it's just a box of stuff. I've had it in my attic for a long time, and I moved a lot, so it's gotten all mixed up, and there's really no rhyme or reason to any of it, and it's almost all there. I mean, yeah, there's a few holes in it, and a part has gotten lost here and there, like a model, and it's gotten old, and the box is busted, and there's a part or two missing, but then it's mostly there. It's good, godly, inspired stuff. It's mostly there. It's almost there. But it's all out of order. It got all mixed up over the years. And here, you take it. I can't do it. No, not me. I can't do anything with it. You take it and then go to a man. You're going to have to hunt down a man somewhere. And you're going to have to hunt this man down. Maybe he's the Pope. But even if he's not the Pope, he's going to be a Pope. So you got to hunt down a Pope. Which, by the way, you talk about blasphemy. Papa. What a farce. Do you see how Roman Catholicism is a direct attack on sonship education? That's going to be your papa. That's why I'm almost physically ill whenever I think of someone looking at me like their final authority. It almost makes me physically nauseous to think that. But what I'm describing in this little scenario is all of biblical Christianity across the board. Take this box of junk, or I'm sorry, not junk, stuff, godly stuff, that got kind of all banged around over the years. Take it to a pope. He may not be your Catholic guy with the beanie, but take it to a scholar. Take it to a pastor pope. Scholar pope, pastor pope. And then sit at his feet. And he'll have to take this box of stuff, and he's going to have to figure out how it all works if he wants to do that. if you can get him off the golf course and out of the hospitals and out of the counseling rooms and out of the youth programs and off the hayride and off the donut brigade and off the cookie brigade and out of the fundraisers and stopping trying to build buildings and get him out of the music program and get him out of that, if he gives any of his attention to it at all, maybe that guy is going to come along and figure it out as to how it all works. Of course, after he's corrected all of the errors in it. I'm giving you a box of stuff that's all got errors in it, and the pastor pope is going to have to correct all those errors, and if he's got the time to do that, after he's, and he can't do it, by the way, until he, first of all, he's got to wait on scientists. He's got to wait on archaeologists. He's got to wait on guys with trowels hunting and pecking over in the Middle East to uncover some piece of old junk that has some fragment in it that's going to let him be able to say, well, this is a piece of the model that has been lost over the years, and I'm going to put it back together. And so then he's going to have to wait for archaeologists and scholars to find all the missing stuff, and after they've found the missing stuff, then he's going to have to reconstruct it, and he's going to give it all new words and all in his own private interpretation. Then he's going to have to figure out some kind of order or systematic system of categories and doctrine, and then after that all gets done, if it ever gets done, and they don't think it will in your lifetime, but if it ever gets done, then you might have some idea of just exactly what you are to do after you have gotten justified unto eternal life. I've just described Christianity today. That's what they're doing. That is a mess. That could cause a pastor to start drinking heavily. That is a mess. That's what's supposed to be demanded of me? I trow not. Look it up. See, what does trow mean? Did Mark just speak in tongues? But until then, chillin'. But until then, brothers and sisters, just keep praying, just keep singing, and just keep giving money. It's like Jerry's kids. I'm not Jerry's kids. I'm my Heavenly Father's son. I'm not Jerry's, and all of these telethon organizations, and pharmaceuticals are the same way. Whenever grants come up, they always dangle the carrot out, and they say, if you just give a little bit more money. And the telethons that are going on to raise money for these religious broadcasting programs that are doing far more damage than any good that they're doing. They're doing none at all. And you get all of the parade of all of the stars who come in there, and they do obeisance, and they give their obeisance to the grand pope of the airwaves. And so they come on there, and then they raise funds and they raise money. They call it a fall telethon. They hold it in the summer. They're not even honest about that. And it's always, and they blatantly tell you if you'll give money, then God will bless you. And they blatantly put you under the law. They even go to the point of trying to teach you that you should throw away your calendar. And the big thing is to follow the Jewish calendar and to keep those Jewish days, and that we've got to expect great things on the Day of Atonement. This is Satan working his magic. This is, if you want to see Satan working, watch that stuff. And I know I get on a high horse about it, but the idea that if you just keep giving money, we'll finally get this box of junk and stuff and godly inspired stuff, we'll finally get it figured out if you just keep giving money. But until then, chin up. Let's have a praise and worship service. And you can easily see why most Christians are just totally confused. And for the most part, why they don't really see their sanctified life as any big deal at all. That getting saved and justified and getting out of hell and the lake of fire, that's the big deal. And the only big deal they see in their sanctified life is, I've got to stop sinning. I've got to stop sinning. Got to stop sinning. I just can't sin like that anymore. Got to stop sinning. That's all my life is. I'm going to heaven. I've got to stop sinning. Or they don't see their sanctified life as any big deal at all. And if I don't get anything else out of my Christian life, well, who really cares? Because who really knows what I'm supposed to be doing now anyway? After all, I work for General Motors, or I do this, or I do that. I got other things. I got soccer practice. Well, you've got to resist that. And that's an enormous pressure. And you're going after it because that's how Satan wins even before you ever get started. He's got you beat before you even get up to bat. He beat you in the clubhouse before you even got to the dugout. You were beat. You didn't even get your uniform on. You're beat before you even got to the stadium. He had you beat. The truth of the matter is, what God wants to do with you upon you learning that you are adopted as a son of His, and upon that effectually working in your inner man so that you cry, Abba, Father, He wants you to begin by knowing wisdom and instruction. Then He wants you to perceive words of understanding. Then He wants you to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Then He wants you to give you subtlety, because it's at that point you're going to be simple. And you're going to be very vulnerable. The most dangerous position on that entire thing is that subtle position. And He knows that. And then you're going to grow and be a young man, at which point you'll get knowledge and discretion. And you'll finally become a wise man, and you will increase learning to finally becoming a man of understanding who shall attain unto wise counsels. That's the scope overview of your Christian life, of your sonship life. And you're going to see that all that, every part of that, in the order it's given, matches up perfectly and wonderfully to your own education with the doctrine God has written specifically through the Apostle Paul in the mystery doctrine to be written upon your heart and to your own education, just as you would expect to, if this is the format for a father to son education. That's what I'd expect to find. I wouldn't expect to see this deviate one whit from what I'm going to get in Romans through Philemon, or Romans through, even Romans through 2 Thessalonians. So we've come to recognize some things and important things, What we're being given here is in all reality, and I mean it, in all reality. If you see that, it's not theory, but in all reality, you got a table of contents for the book of Proverbs in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And God tables out for you in advance, even before you begin dealing with it, the scope of the contents plural. Here's what this will do, and here's the design of it. And then here's what this is going to do. And here's the design of it. Here's its purpose. The book of Proverbs will contain all these things that we just looked or just scoped out. And by that you would naturally expect to find chapters or sections. May not follow chapter breaks exactly, but you're going to find sections or chapters that correspond with knowing wisdom and instruction in the book of Proverbs. And you would expect to find chapters or sections corresponding to perceiving the words of understanding, and chapters or sections dealing with receiving the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, and so forth and so on. And that's whether you're here in the book of Proverbs or whether you're any other place in God's Word where God takes up the curriculum for sonship education with the appropriate doctrine. It could be our epistles, as I said, or it could be Hebrews through Jude for the remnant of Israel. And that's exactly what you're looking at. This I think repeats in those books too, but with different doctrine. And that's exactly what you're looking at. This is the table of contents for the book. It's the objectives, it's the goals, it's the purpose of the book laid out in advance in a table from its very beginning. And that's what you've got in all of these two phrases. And since we're dealing with the table of contents plural, in fact, if it were just a book of either no real significance or no real purpose, or one single content, you wouldn't need these five verses. You wouldn't need a table of contents if it's just a content singular. But since it's a table of contents plural, we know there's more than one thing contained in it. Therefore, we know that there is a complex purpose to the book of the educational system. And that in itself should cause you to think that there's going to be... I come back to this because you need to, again, and it was brought out on Thursday, and I'm just capitalizing on some things that you said, and you said that you saw. But that should make you think that there's got to be some kind of steps. I don't know what you want to call them. But I think the most appropriate thing to call them is levels. Because that's how we would call it in school. We would say he's at the third grade level. And you'd get something back. We would get him even in homeschooling, where you'd be reading on a fifth grade level, or a ninth grade level, or a 12th grade level, or college level. And so I think that's an appropriate expression. I'm not saying it's in the Bible, and I'm not saying you have to think of it that way. But I'm saying that's probably the word I'm going to utilize more than any other, that there's either steps to it or some kind of level involved, some kind of structure that goes in a progressive manner, such as phases, levels, grades, or whatever you want to call it. At the very least, like I said, since what we do find is we've got this sentence structure that has a break between 4 and 5 there, we would at least be able to say, I'd expect at least 2 levels, since we've got all these listed items gathered up into 2 large sentences. And I think that's definitely right. I think there is a level between what's at the end of verse 4 and begins verse 5. I definitely believe that. And I think just the grammatical structure alone will indicate that. But I want you to be able to have some enjoyment of discovery yourself, but I'm convinced that there's more than that. I just think that at the very least we could say that this has to be gathered up into at least 2 large areas. Maybe there's more levels to it than that. Maybe even within the levels there's divisions to be made there as well. We'll all see that, and we'll make sure and confirm that so that you can take it home and make sure that that's really there as well as we go along. But just by the use of the words, and by the way, on the levels and the phases and everything, if we have to make adjustments to that, that's fine. I'm not real concerned about that. Whether we all match exactly on saying, well, I see that as a level with 2 phases to it, or I see this as a level, or what. As long as you're realizing there's progress being made through this entire thing, that's really what's very vital. And we'll see that as we go. But just by the use of the words to know, to perceive, to receive, to get, to understand, all that tells you that there's an order that is being followed. I was mentioning to someone before, I said, the very first one, to know wisdom. Just to understand that phrase is going to be critical, and why he uses the word know here. And just for homework's sake, I want you to define what know means there, and in your definition, you cannot use any of the rest of the words for knowing in these 5 verses. You can't come along and say, well, that means to perceive wisdom. The very next thing says to perceive. If he meant perceive, he would have said perceive. Well, to know wisdom means to really understand it. No, it doesn't. Understand is down here. He had it available. If he wanted to use understand, he would have used it. Now, that little exercise is designed to make you realize every word in this thing matters. And you need to be able to know what he's talking about at each one of these levels and why he's doing it. And don't sweat that. We'll go over all that. Believe me, I'm the benevolent pastor. I'm going to make sure that nobody's going to be left hanging. So just the use of those words tells you there's an order there. And it should tell you also there's an end to it. And by default, so to speak, that should also tell you there's advancement to it. There's progression to it. You should see, beginning in verse 5, what's being talked about as a son, what you're going to be doing in verse 5 and 6 there, especially in verse 5, that sounds a lot different than the rest of that. And it is. There's something more advanced there going on. And you're knowing, you're perceiving, you're receiving, you're getting, you're increasing. By the end, you're understanding. And all this should confirm and verify and really settle in your mind that issue that there is this ordered, complex educational system, because that's what you would expect to find in any educational system. And as some of you brought out here before, you should see that not only is there progression in the verbs, knowing, perceiving, receiving, and so forth, but there's also these peculiar titles that God gives. And I love these things. I've come to really love them. To give, beginning in verse 4, by the way, you don't get one until you get to verse 4. But the education has begun. You know, you don't get called anything until you get to give subtlety to the simple. That's the first time you're called something. And the first time you're called something, you're called simple. You're a simple son. Let me go to this one. Let me show you, hopefully, this won't be too small, but I wanted to put something up here. You can see that pretty well, right? Even Steve, he's squinting a lot. Gail, get him some glasses and make him wear them. Well, I wanted to stack these verses up here because I want to bring that again to your attention and show you some of the marvelous design of these titles that are given, or I might call them monikers, but they're identifiable. Identifying names, that's what they are. They're tags. They're identifying tags or names, labels. I don't like labels. Well, sorry. God does. God labels you. And I wanted to get verse 1 off of there so that you're focusing your attention just on these five verses. And we have these wonderful monikers or titles or labels or identifying names given to the Son. And in verse 4, you get the first one, to give subtlety to the simple. As I said before that, I suppose the best thing to think about is that I'm just a son. I think that up until when you begin verse 2 down to verse 4, you're an adopted son. And there has to be some common sense thinking to the fact that, look, you know, if I'm adopted into this thing, I really don't know a whole lot about it. I mean, think of it. Whenever you would adopt, and whenever everybody here would adopt, you'd adopt a child, even if the child is 4 or 5 years old. If you adopted that child, sometimes they're adopting, you know, it's becoming the in thing. It's kind of like having a dog, you know, or a cat. I got an adopted son from Chile, or from Venezuela, or from China, or from Vietnam, or wherever. It's now in the trendy thing to do is to destroy these little kids' lives by having them be adopted by some of the most repugnant filth on the earth, movie stars. And so that's a big thing. But you're taking a child from an entirely different environment and culture and sometimes language and everything he knows, and he's suddenly into something else. It would be common and natural to expect that there's got to be some period of time that I got to get myself established as a son. And that's what God expects too. And there's going to be a period in the book of Romans that we're going to be looking at nothing but your sonship establishment. And those are going to be things that deal with knowing wisdom and instruction. And then there's going to be a section dealing with perceiving the words of understanding. And then receiving instruction in wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. That is really where you'll begin to start functioning and will finally advance you to the point of being a simple son. And so you have in verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple. Now watch this. You see what's happening to the word simple? Watch this. Here's modern technology. You have the simple son or the simple man. And that's the first thing that you're told. And then you move on through the curriculum to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And like I said, that young man is going to be a young man in the eyes of your father. And what he determines that you're now a young man. Not when you reach a certain actual physical age and at your birthday party, your aunt or uncle slaps you on the back and says, well, you're a young man now. Yeah, in your estimation, but maybe not in your heavenly father's. But that's the next moniker that's given there, the young man. You go from being a simple man to a young man. And that has a lot of connotation to it. It's not a young boy. It's not a young child. It's an adult. But even as an adult, we all start out as young. And there's a section in school that's dedicated to something like that. And we'll talk about that. And then you get down to verse 5 and you have a wise man. And that wise man will hear and will increase learning. And so that's your next, you know, looking at levels or whatever, but that's your next title or identifiable label or name that's given to the son. He starts out as simple. I put man up there. It's not in the text, but it could be simple man or simple son. I'm using man because they all use that and in its generic way. But you start simple, young man, wise man, and then a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And my understanding is that the man of understanding really is the highest level that is going to be attained throughout this curriculum. When your Heavenly Father views you as the man of understanding, it has that kind of progress to it. There's progression being made. And that progression has not only titles given to it or monikers given to it, but each one of these has an aspect to it that allows you to check and see exactly where you are. Are you in that status as a simple son? Or are you in the status as the young man or the wise man or the man of understanding? And there's going to be tests and there's going to be markers and there's going to be checkpoints to make sure that you really have that all working, that you don't cheat. In fact, if you do cheat, there's a fail-safe system built into this to find you out. It'll just take time. That's all it'll take. But you'll quickly fall away. That's all built into the system. That's not a problem. So there's not going to be any fakers in this. It's really a magnificent security system built into this thing so that you can't fake it. There's no place in here where we're going to try to find out how many people want to put their hands in the air and start rattling off tongues or something. Or if you can jump over some pent-up inhibition and get up here and give a devotional without passing out. And it's not going to be, Andrew mentioned, he saw I still had this, it's not going to be like this guy. That's not an indication that you are a wise man or a man of understanding. For those of you who don't know what that is, that guy there, I chopped his head off because just to keep anonymity. I got this out of the paper, out of our Wake Weekly. What you're looking at is a guy who has about 70 perfect attendance Sunday school pins. He was real proud of that. I'd have been ashamed, but he was real proud of that. That's what he's going to have to offer Jesus Christ. You know, those things are made out of the cheapest little pieces of tin. That's what he's going to give him. Oh, Lord, I never missed a Sunday school class. You know, what do you think he's going to be put into as a position of responsibility? I say none. He'll never be put into a position like that. He's got an inheritance if he is a believer at all. He's got an inheritance being an heir of God and an adopted son. But he has zero joint inheritance with Jesus Christ. He'll get none of that. So if you think it's unimportant or you think I'm not teaching it to the level that you should be excited about that, I don't know what to do for you. It's not me that's going to do the exciting. It's going to be the words on the page anyway. But that man of understanding, there's no guesswork. There's no faking it out. There's no putting together a string of Sunday school pins and thinking you got it. You don't. That's not what it is. So just to wind this up, you not only find that there's progression in the verbs, but you see progression in the son. You're not just progressing through the terms. You're progressing as a son, which you would expect. And you're progressing in what you get called, which is what you'd expect. You did that in school. You know, how would you have liked it if you were in 12th grade and somebody came up and said, hey, freshman, you'd have been pantsed in my school, I'll tell you right now. Or I never did that to somebody, but I did throw a few freshmen in lockers and lock them up just to gain respect. I just thought it ought to be done. It was done to me. I would never let some freshman bump into me and call me as a senior a freshman or even a junior or a sophomore. See, those are all labels of an educational system that has ripped off and stolen from God's educational system, knowing that there's determined markers and advancements to it. And I'm not saying that ought to be restructured or anything, but all I'm saying is that you see there's progression in the Son Himself and what He gets called. And from verse 2 and 3, you're not given a title or an identifying name at all. Maybe from that point, you can simply be identified as an adopted son. But in verse 4, you're identified as the simple. And in the second half of verse 4, you can be accurately described as the young man. And then you get to what verse 5 describes, and that son is a wise man. And ultimately, the second half of verse 5 identifies the son as a man of understanding. I have a little bit more than I've got time for today to really deal with that. But growth and progression and the advancement is not only seen in the curriculum, but growth and progression and advancement is also seen by the recipient of the curriculum, by the Son Himself. That's why this is going to be on you. It's not up to me to determine where you are. It's not up to me to constantly try to find out, well, are you a simple or are you a young man or where are you? You're going to have to know that yourself. That's not something I have to, that's something you have to evaluate, and there's a way of doing that. And the Son Himself is viewed as uneducated. You start out at verse 2 with the first two, you're uneducated. You're adopted, you're an adult, but you have not got any education at all. You're uneducated. Maybe that's what you ought to be called before then, the uneducated son. And that's really how you're viewed by your father. But then you go to simple. You just have some very simple understanding. And that's great. That's a good thing to be the simple son. There's nothing wrong. Every one of us has to go through it. But you also have to realize I'm vulnerable at that point. I know just enough to blow my own foot off, so to speak. I know just enough about my weaponry and just enough to get myself... You ever hear the expression? Yeah, he knows just enough to get himself in trouble. That's the danger of being a simple son. But your father's provided for that. And he has, in Romans, he has one incredibly marvelous provision given to you to bridge that gap and to protect you from the evil man and the strange woman while you're in that stage. Because that's where you're going to be the most vulnerable, especially to that strange woman. And you go from that to fully educated man of understanding, and therefore taking you from being completely ignorant to being a man of understanding is what you're given in the scope of all of this here that we've been looking at this morning. And that's the format, and you'd expect it to do just that. In fact, you'd expect to find identifying, definable progression. If I'm going to be in an educational system, it should have that, and it does have that. As you go through the advancement and the progression of the curriculum, and that's what you'd expect to find. In fact, honestly, nothing else makes any sense. It's like I said before. It's just God giving me a box of pieces that have no real way of fitting together. But if it's a definable curriculum, nothing else than progress in that definable, markable advancement and progress would make sense. So I think what we'll do is we'll let you think about that and let that cook until Tuesday, and then we'll come back and I want to just tidy up whatever loose ends I've got on that. But just to kind of make sure that we're settled on seeing that, all right, there's complex progress to this, and purpose and design to this. There's levels to it. And there's advancement through these identifiable monikers given to it. That's really all we've been covering, those three major issues. And so we'll finish that all off, and as soon as we get that done, kind of the overview scope of it, we're going to start picking up there with verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, and start going right through this thing and identifying the levels and all the rest of it. So we'll start there on Tuesday night with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this magnificent construction that you have and design that you have put into this sonship life. We just pray that as we continue to look at these things in Proverbs, that we will also begin having our interest piqued into going back to Romans and seeing these things matching up, anticipating what you're doing here to be what you will do with us there, and that you have so much more for us, and that you have loved us and cared for us and provided for us far beyond anything this life would ever hold out to us as an alternative or a competing set of wisdom or system of education. But you have designed something that has eternal value and eternal effect, and that no matter who we are or where we are, we can begin in that curriculum now, that Christ himself valued it at Gethsemane more than anything else in his life, and Paul himself finished his course. And we just thank you for all of these issues that give us the gravity and the weight of how this is to be properly received. We pray that by these words you set our attitude and you set our thinking as you yourself think about this, are excited about this, and value this, so that we will gain the greatest benefit from all that we are studying through this sonship course. We again thank you for putting it in the Word, preserving those words, and that you didn't give us just a box of junk or a box of pieces, but that you gave us a complete, perfect, inerrant, infallible course and curriculum where every word has gravity and meaning to it. And we just thank you for the trustworthiness of the words you have given us on this page that provide for your Spirit to write these things on our heart. So again, we pray as we began that we receive your heart in ours properly through the words you have written to us as the Spirit of God leads us through them. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.